Well, welcome this morning. It's good to be here with you. Always enjoy coming back. I know so many of you. In fact, I don't see any unfamiliar faces at all. But I'm looking forward to the day when I'm invited back amongst you. And as well as the familiar faces, there's a whole lot of people that you have to introduce me to. Are you looking forward to that day? And sometimes it feels like a long time coming, doesn't it? Because this is not a new desire in your heart. And I wanted to speak to that this morning. But before I do that, I just a couple of comments, Paul, about the things you were sharing about that weekly program of events. Wonderful to see so many things are happening where you can be encouraged, where you can grow together. And you're not just relying on Sunday morning, you know, an hour or so. I'll try to make it just an hour or so this morning. You'll be relieved to know. Although you know that I'm not always a very good predictor of how long it's going to be. So I'm going to put my phone there so the time's in front of me. Prayer time. What a wonderful idea to being able to join together via Zoom on prayer. Isn't it technology wonderful? And our experience of COVID has opened up to us all sorts of possibilities. That's brilliant, isn't it? Do you pray for your neighbours and perhaps work colleagues, strangers? Do you ever pray with them there in the moment? Do you ever pray with them there in the moment? Occasionally. I found so often you have to be aware and conscious of the context, but it's sometimes surprising when you say, you know, people, as you get to know them, they just begin to open up their troubles or the things that are on their heart. And it's amazing the number of times when you say, oh, can I just pray with you about that? Perfect strangers on occasions. Think about it. Be aware that you can pray with someone, not just pray for them without them knowing. Pray. And why not in your Zoom say, look, our church meets regularly for prayer. Would you like me to just have your situation, your name, brought to the church, so we as a community of faith can pray for you in this context? How's that for an idea? Yes. Craft, care and chat. It's been going a long time, hasn't it? Yeah, sure has. But again, rather than being a group that's sort of just inward looking, are there other people out in the community that can be a part of it? And how can our faith lie at the centre of what we do? How can it change and grow? Which brings me back to the point of my message today. God laid it on my heart to bring to you a passage, a familiar passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. I remember reading years ago, I don't have the book anymore, but a book by Howard Snyder called The Problem of Wineskins. I don't remember the detail of the book now. I'm talking about decades, you know, older than you, much older than you, decades ago reading it. And it's interesting how there are things we read and they just stay with us. God uses it to become just a little framework and we come back to it and we think about it and we think about our context in terms of that particular writing, that particular input. And in our passage today, it is actually, it ends with that saying of Jesus. about wineskins. So let's read it together. We'll just put it in context a little bit. And then I want to speak fairly directly to you as a community of faith. So it's verse 18 in Mark chapter 2. And it begins this way. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. This was their regular routine. This is what they did, their spirituality. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting but yours are not? How come? Are you the real deal? Why aren't you doing this spiritual thing? This is what spiritual people do." And Jesus answers, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast." We're not going to go into the detail of that particular illustration. "No one sews a patch on unshrunk cloth, on an old garment, of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old as it shrinks, as you wash it, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." So it is that latter illustration of Jesus that I want to just spend a little bit of time to unpack for you and the context. And as I said, I want to speak directly into, as directly as I can, into your situation here. What God might well be saying to you. The context, the broader context is really that Judaism had developed, the Pharisees seemed to have developed some time in the intertestamental, something like that. The period between the Old Testament, between Malachi and Matthew. Okay, that's why I use these technical terms I can't even pronounce. at least not today. The priestly system was still in functioning from way back, centuries before. The Pharisees were like a reform movement that began and say, "We want to get back to Scripture and to following God, not just the routine of the sacrificial system." There are other sects within Judaism, all very earnest. But I want you to take particular note of the fact that they all were looking backwards. They're all looking backwards to perhaps the priestly system, to the sacrificial system, to the patterns of the Old Testament. This is what we should be doing. They're looking backwards and saying, "Oh, this is how it was done. This is how we need to get back to, and this is how we need to continue to do," looking backwards. And Jesus is essentially saying in this illustration that something new has come. Something that can't be contained within the old system. The illustration, obviously, and I guess most of you can work it out, that an old wineskin has become inflexible. It's become stiff. And if you put new wine into it, as it ferments, pressure builds up and the skin won't adjust to that. It's inflexible. And it'll just burst, which is what you don't want. You want to drink it. You don't want it on the ground. So you have new wineskins that are still flexible. They haven't dried out. So that as the new wine, what is placed into the new container the new wine can ferment and the gases, the pressure builds up, and the wineskin will remain intact. Jesus is saying something new has emerged and it cannot be contained in what existed in the past. Of course, the new wine is the presence of the kingdom in Jesus Christ. Something extraordinary and new. God is not just removed. God has not just come in the temple, his presence in the temple, but he's come in human flesh to dwell amongst his people. You know, John chapter 1, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We behold his glory, the glory of the one and the other, full of grace and truth. And of course that new kingdom, this new thing that has emerged, continues on through to today, because part of it is not just the presence of the living Saviour amongst humanity, not just his death and resurrection and glorification, but it also includes the sending of the Spirit. All these things are revolutionary new. No one in Palestine at that time could look back on the Old Testament and what had happened and have any clue about how to adjust, what it's going to look like when the new came. This is why Judaism, or the Jewish religious system of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the priests, had no clue, and they rebelled against the Saviour because he didn't fit the old framework. Doesn't make any sense. And so it leads to the crucifixion of the Lord of glory. We live in new days. We live in new days. I notice that there's a lot of grey hair amongst us. Yep, including the person who's talking to you. We live in new days. It is not like the 1950s when I was born. We won't go back further in time. but even for those of you who are younger than I, it is not like the days when we were born. It's not like our early experience of church and how church was and how church functioned, the community functioned within, how it did outreach into the community, even our understandings of the presence of God. Things are always emerging and developing. We should not be surprised, because God is always present in the now and his eyes are always on the future. He doesn't live in the past. He's always moving forward. He's always wanting to reach into the now to draw things towards his future. One of the realities, folk, is as we get older, our eyes continue to look more and more backward. We think about how things used to be done, how things used to be. And sometimes the now and the unknown of the future causes us to look more and more backward. Folk, we can end up a little bit like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priestly class of Jesus' day. It, for us, it seems like the past and how things used to be offers security. But it doesn't. Because God is always moving forward. In our humanity, and this is true of every dimension of our life, we want to feel like we are in control, that we understand how things are working out and that we can adjust so that things work out well. I'm not going to go into detail, but if you reflect on what I've just said, we realise that in every dimension of our life, we are wanting to have certainty and control. One of the challenges of church leadership is to begin to let go of the past and that sense of control, because God wants us to walk with Him into the unknown future, unknown to us, but known to Him. He wants us to walk with Him in the Spirit, in the now, and trust Him, and to relinquish the sense of control. The past is not a solution to the future, but we want to know. We want to feel secure. I understand that I'm the same. But God is continually, and He's doing it in our personal life. He's wanting us to just trust Him and walk with Him into what is yet not known to us. We face this in our personal life. Diane and I can testify to that, absolutely. But you face it too. Each one of you face it. And you face it as a community of faith placed here in Keilor East. And God is saying to you, the new is always emerging. The new is always coming. It is under control. It's under my control. It's not under your control. It's under my control. I know the path forward. And it's not going to look entirely like the past at all. Stop looking to the past as a paradigm for what the future is going to look like. Trust me and find peace in this life of change as you trust me, as you let go, and you simply trust. Not an easy task. It does not come naturally to us to do that. None of us, young or old, it does not come naturally. We actually fight against it, and God is always wanting to draw us into it. Because true security is found where? In God. Is it found in us, in our plans, in our scheming or our efforts, our endless efforts? Is it found there? Definitely not. And when we stop and reflect on life, we know that's to be the case. The unexpected happens, the unwelcome happens. Our plans go awry. Things don't work out. We know we are not in control, yet we want to try to be. And God says, that's not the way to peace. That is not the way to fullness, Jesus' words. It is to trust. What will this church, and I don't mean this building, this church, look like in, say, 5 years' time? It will have changed. It will inevitably have changed. Do you have hope? Hope's eternal, but hope for this church, for this community. The path to see that hope fulfilled is to let go of the past, trust God, and walk with Him. And that means prayer. As I reflect on my years in ministry, I look back with a wry smile. How many times did I, along with the leadership, plan and scheme and then ask God, Lord, bless us. We get it back the front. We pray and we trust and we seek God for how He wants to unfold our future. We seek His wisdom, His path. How many times I've been in churches, and churches have these grand statements about who they are and what they want to see happen, when the reality is we want things to be different, but we don't want anything to change. Do you know what I mean? We want things to be different. We want, you know, the community in here and, you know, youth, and we want, but when we get the youth, we don't want the loud music. We want things to stay the same. And that tendency can increase as we get older. God wants to lead you as his people into an exciting future where things won't look the same, where the old patterns aren't just repeated endlessly. I don't know what that looks like, just like you don't. I can't make any grand prophetic statement. This is going to happen, that's going to happen. But all I do know, God, and faith, he's faithful and good, and he's always creative. He's always moving forward. He's not taken by surprise. He has purpose in everything that he does. The challenge in every age and every day, personally and in the life of the church, is will we trust him? For that is the path to peace, that is the path to joy, and it's the path of fitting into and seeing his future emerge. As I noted, lots of grey hairs amongst us. We're not getting younger. I see only one person who could be described as youth. Great to have you. My encouragement to you is don't be discouraged. As you look around, you can say, well, we don't even have young marrieds, and we hope for that. How can it happen? How could we possibly see this? There's finally only one way. It's God. God can do the seemingly impossible. But we need to trust him and to follow and look forward, not backwards. Only look backwards as encouragement that God was present, and an encouragement that he will be present and he will move you forward. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is your challenge as it is mine. That is your challenge. May you work together with Paul, whom you've called to help lead you into that future that is not going to look like the past, where there's going to be change. Change can be challenging. It can even be a little uncomfortable. But it can also be exciting and wonderful. Allow Paul to be with you and to help you as he learns and continues to grow, to know what it means to be truly led by the Spirit, to know God's mind for you in this time and place. Don't be a hindrance, like a rock in the path, looking backwards and saying, no, I can't, shouldn't, whatever. But seek God's leading and God's wisdom, and trust him. And trust is essential to function as the fellowship, the church of Christ. Heavenly Father, I just commit this congregation of your people, these beloved children of yours, to you, to lead us forward, to lead this community of faith forward, that they might be a light for you in this community, that their very way of being and going about life and faith will be evidence of who you are in a dark world. A dark world that needs light and hope and joy and peace, truth, integrity. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.